What a mediator. He has access to God and access to the sinner. Thank God for that. Thank you for that message, Brother Corey Riggs. That was a blessing. So, our next speakers tonight are Brother Don and Laura Sturtz. They are a personal blessing to Brother Joe West and I. They were such a help to us. If you remember the Wooj campaign a few years back, where we distributed the gospel and got out over 500 people came to the theater in downtown Wooj to hear the gospel preached. It was because of the work and the charity and the kindness of the Sturtzes and their ministry. I'm not going to speak on their behalf because they're going to come and tell us about what they're doing and how the Lord has blessed them. So we're going to ask Laura to come. She has a testimony to give. And after she speaks, Brother Don will come and talk about their ministry. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Hi, thank you so much for having us. In Acts 26:18, it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It was the year 2013, and a Lithuanian lady was coming home from work. She was really despondent and depressed. She was going through a lot in her life, and she didn't know where to turn. She didn't even know who to talk to about it, but she just felt a heaviness of heart. And as she was walking home from work, she just didn't even want to look anybody in the face. She just wanted to just keep her face down and get home and fix herself some supper. And as she was walking, as she was looking down, she noticed that there was a book that was in the gutter. And she thought, that's really strange. I've never seen anything like that before. So she went over and she picked it up and she brushed it off. And it was a dry dirt that was on it. And as she brushed it off, she could start to see the cover of this booklet. And it said, the gospel according to John and Romans. And she thought, this is very interesting. I'm going to take this home. So she took it home. She fixed herself a little bit of supper. And she sat in her favorite chair with a lamp. And she started to read. And it said in the front that there was markings of some of the important things that she should read in this book. So she started reading these, and it was basically the Romans wrote. And she read each one of them, and it started to work on her heart. And when she was finished, there was a set of questions and answers in this booklet that were all answered from the Gospel of John and Romans. How can I know there's a God? What's sin? What's the penalty for sin? And every one of these was in, the answers were in the John and Romans. So she looked every one of those up, and it was getting later and later and later into the night. And finally she thought, I am going to start in the beginning, and I'm going to read this all the way through if it takes me all night. And she sat there, and in the wee hours of the morning, after finishing the John and Romans, she knew in her heart that she needed Jesus Christ. Amen. As Lord and Savior. She was presented with the gospel over and over again, and how she was a sinner, and how that there was nothing that could get her to the Lord except accepting him. And that night, with no one to show her, just simply the word of God, she bowed her head, and she sweetly asked Jesus Christ into her heart to save her.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And that night, that load, that guilt, that heaviness in her heart was lifted from her. And she just had a joy and a peace. Well, she got a few hours of sleep and got up the next morning to go to work. And when she got to work, she could not get away from the thought, I wish I knew where these books came from. I want to know more. And as she went through her day at work and doing the automatic types of things that you do sometimes where you kind of disconnect, she got an impression, a very strong impression, that she should go to the train station after work. And she said, I felt like the rest of the day I was arguing with myself. We, of course, know who it was. But go to the train station. Go to the train station. And she would tell herself, not out loud, but I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go to the train station. Why should I go to the train station? Well, after a while, she couldn't get away from it. And it was kind of like, you know how we go sometimes? I give up. Well, she gave up and she said, okay, I don't understand this at all, but I'm going to go to the train station. After she finished work, she made her way to the train station. As she came around the corner, there's a great big archway there, and there was two ladies standing there. And she's looking, and she's seeing them go from person to person and passing out something. And she gets closer, and she sees, this is the book that I found in the street. So she comes over, and she says, Laba Diena. And she starts in speaking in Lithuanian. And the two ladies happen to be myself and my sister-in-law. And we're like, wait, you must wait. And we called our translator over. And the story that I just told you was what she told us. And she said, I have accepted Jesus into my heart. And praise I Lord. Want to know more. I want to learn and grow. Yep. And she says, how can I do this? And the lady from the church said, well, we have a missionary that is our pastor, and we would invite you to come tonight. We're having a midweek service, and we want you to come. And she came that night. She not only came herself, but she brought a neighbor. And she sat through the preaching. And at the end of the service, the missionary said, did anybody have any announcements or anything that need to be mentioned? And then he saw a lady in the back, sitting way in the back on that side that he'd never seen before, and she's going like this. And he says, well, yes, ma'am, can I help you? And she says, I need to be baptized. And he says, who told you this? And she pulled the Gospel of John Romans that she found in the gutter that someone had been handed that did not want it, threw it down, discarded it, and she pulled it out of her person, and she said, it says right in here, this is what I need to do after I've been saved. You know, the greatest missionary is the Word of God in the written language of the people. May our prayer be, dear God, your will, nothing else, nothing more, nothing else.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Laura. And how many other testimonies are like that, that we know nothing of, where we get the Word of God out? I want to thank you so much, Brother Riggs, for inviting us here. And it's been a real blessing to get to know some of you folks here. And, you know, what you don't realize is you have a precious gift here. With the amount of folks here that are in ministry, in missions, many of you that have been to the mission field, realize how few people in our Bible preaching churches in our country have ever left this country to go to a mission field for anything. You know, we urge people to go when we have our campaigns. We ask people in churches, please come with us. Come with us and help us get the Word of God out, and it will change your life. And we've seen God do some great and mighty things in the lives of people. But I want to take a few moments here and just tell you a little bit about us. You know, we come in here and it's like, well, it's a blessing because I feel like I'm around a bunch of heroes. These guys that are missionaries that go to the field and labor away, they're my heroes. And I thank God that we have the privilege to go and spend some time with them and try to be there to bolster them up a little and encourage them a little and just love on them a little bit while we're there and help them out with literature and material as time goes on. And what a joy that is. And this all began way back in the late 60s, early 70s with our pastor at that time. I didn't even know him yet. But he began to pray, and we told Brother Riggs a little about it tonight. My first pastor after I got saved, Howard Nelson, was a visionary. And one of the things he prayed for is he said, communist countries are not closed to God. He said, we can do something to get the gospel to the communist countries.
Amen.
And he said, we got to start praying that God would do something like that. All right, here we are in our little church, and we had maybe at that time 40, 45 people. And we began to pray and say, God, you got to do something. do something, raise up somebody to do something in communist-controlled countries. Well, it was in 1974, where in the summer, Laura and I were married. 2 months later, in our home church, our pastor preached on a Sunday night. God got a hold of my heart that night, and he was just yanking away and saying, surrender your life. Amen. Surrender your life. And I did like any good Baptist would do. I held onto the pew. And I just held on with everything I had. And after the service was over, I thought, escape that bullet. But I got home, and I couldn't get away from it. And I told Laura, I said, Laura, God touched my heart tonight to surrender my life. And she said, God was working on my heart. She said, I was waiting. If you'd have gone forward, I was going to go forward. So we got down beside the bed that night, and we said, God, we ain't got much to give you. We don't have much talent, don't have much ability. But what we got, we give to you. Amen. Well, that Wednesday night, the following Wednesday, we made it public. We raised our hands, and in our prayer meeting that night, we said, Laura and I surrendered our lives for whatever God's got for us. Not knowing what he had, didn't have any idea. I was working as a mechanic for International Harvester in a farm dealership at the time. Well, a month later, in October of 1974, guess what happened? Our church had a mission conference. Look out for mission conferences. But anyway, and guess what he had come in that time? He had a fellow present an Iron Curtain ministry to the communist countries. And that fellow got up that night and he showed this documentary film on communism. And at the end of it, the director, the founder of that ministry, took a few minutes and he said, these countries may be closed to Bible colleges and all that, but he said, they're not closed to God.
Amen.
And he said, there are ways and there are things we can do. And while this was going on, again, God was tugging on my heart. And I'd been praying previous to that, and my wife and I, we said, God, you know, if you got something for us, show us, bring somebody along that'll touch my heart. Have an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor, somebody speak to me that really would touch my heart. Well, that night after the service, of course, that missionary was standing by the door and shaking hands as we were going by. And when I come up to him, I go like this, and he goes, I want to talk to you. He says, stick around. I want to talk to you. Wow. Okay. I hung around, and he says, I don't know. He says, God just impressed upon my heart to talk to you. He says, I think he'd be a good representative for our ministry. You know. And he says, you know, pray about it. I went, And I left, and I thought, I ain't going to pray about that. He said, why not? Because communists don't like Christians.
Right.
And they had real guns and real bullets. And there were enough prison epistles written. And I didn't really plan on going over there and getting in trouble. And so anyways, here I was, you know, and I thought, well, the next night we went back because, you know, the mission conference ran several days like here, so I go there, and guess what I did? You know, you got to think things through. I came in the door, and I looked around, and I thought, where is this guy? He was over here. I stayed there. He moved over here. I went over there. I said, I'm going to stay away from that guy as far as I can get. Well, now it's getting close time to start. You know, you got to run to the boys' room before service started. So I went. Guess who was coming out? He says, here you are. I've been looking for you. I said, oh, great. But anyways, he says, stick around tonight. I want to talk to you some more. And he did again that night. He says, you know, I want you to really pray about this. He said, I just believe that God would have you to do something. And I wrestled with that, and when he left, of course, I had no intention to pray about it. But anyway, the Lord just would not let it go. And God runs a whole lot faster than you run.
Yep.
And it took about 2 months, and I couldn't take any more. And so I wrote to that fellow and the director of the ministry, and I said, what can I do? Well, we signed up in January of 1975 to become a representative of that ministry. Well, we worked with them for about 2.5, almost 3 years. I was a representative up in Wisconsin, up in that area, going to churches, holding a full-time job, just going out on weekends, getting about 30 churches a year, and just present the work. I thought, this is fine. Well, all of a sudden, a need came up where he had to get some things over into Yugoslavia, Romania, Hungary, and East Germany. And the director could not go, and so he says, can you go? And I thought, me? You know, I wasn't too sure about going over there. I thought, I was safe. Yeah, you're tonight. You know, the Lord was blessing, man. He was blessing. I was here. I was enjoying the fat of the land. But he says, I want you to go over there. So another fellow from our church, Brother Dick Ives, who's fluent in German, he and I headed over. And on that trip, that was in the spring of 1978, we were in a church in a midweek service in Romania, in the city of Cluj, Romania. It was a registered Baptist church. In those services, there were communist plants. And they told us about it. They said, they're here. We don't even know who they are. He said, they act like Christians. They pretend to be born again. Yep. He says, they have every action of any believer there is. But he says, they're communist plants. Mm-hmm. And they're here. But that night, when we were in that service, I don't know, the singing was unbelievable. I know you could hear it for blocks around. And we were there, and when it come time for the reading of the scriptures, I'll never forget, we were all standing, and it was totally different than we're used to here. That auditorium had an area in the front about 8 foot square where the pulpit was, and 2 chairs, one for the music leader and one for the pastor. The rest of the auditorium was wall-to-wall chairs, and it had the width of 1 chair down the center aisle. And people were packed in. They were standing down that aisle. The back door was open. They were standing outside, and there was snow on the ground yet. This was in April. And when it come time where we were standing together for the reading of the scriptures, I was back in this area here, and I noticed the people in that area looking off to the side. And I looked over there because the pastor was reading, and there was this elderly lady, a grandmother, who had a tattered and torn Bible, and this is what she was doing with it. And everybody around there was just looking at that book. And I thought to myself, why are they doing that? And the Holy Spirit jabbed me in the ribs and said, look around. They don't have Bibles.
That's right.
And over the years, I had the opportunity to see handwritten scriptures where people would take and cut apart a Bible and pass it around in the congregation, and they'd write pages and pages, write it out, and then trade those pages and write and write and write until they had great portions of scripture. And that night, when I saw that, the Holy Spirit came down upon me, and the tears began to flow. And I said, oh, God, I give you from this day forth my life to do all I can to get the word of God Amen. To the people who do not have it.
Amen.
And if you could talk to any one of these missionaries as they preach and as they talk, the burning thing in their heart is so many don't know Jesus.
That's right.
They don't never heard about Christ.
That's right.
And the truth. And oh, listen, the opportunities. When you go, and you go into city after city after city. You know, we were in the city of Plovdiv, Bulgaria. Most of you have never heard of it. City of 450,000 people. How many fundamental Baptist churches? How many Bible churches? How many preaching the gospel? Zero. 450,000 people, and we went in there and had a campaign and saw a number of people come and saw a Bible study started, and a missionary would drive 5 hours one way to come and hold the service and then go back to where he was at. Come back 5 hours. They say, why so far? Because there's 3 fundamental Baptist missionaries in Bulgaria. And you say, a city of 10 million people, or a country of 10 million people. And we were in that city, and while we were working, handing out scriptures, we had a pastor with us, Rodney Butterford. And we put him in an area where there was a lot of bus traffic, a lot of people coming. And he says, one day, he said, I was passing out the John and Romans and handing them out. And he said, I handed one to a big Bulgarian man. He says, this guy was, he says, just a giant of a guy. And he says, I handed him that scripture, and he took it and he looks at it. And then he looked at me, and Rodney was about 140 pounds soaking wet. And this big Bulgarian looks at him, and this is what he said. What's your name? In good English. And Rodney Weck did this. And he says, Rodney. And then the guy looked at the scripture some more. And then he said this. What took you so long, Rodney? Mormons are here. Jehovah's Witnesses are here. Islam is here. He says, where have you Christians been? You know, in the Bible, there are two prayer requests. Two prayer requests that God has. New Testament, book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 2. Pray for laborers.
Yes.
Jesus said, pray for laborers.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, we need laborers. Because that city of Plovdiv, we could have had a church going there. There were people coming. That missionary traveled back and forth for 5 months. Once every week he traveled. Come and preach. And finally he contacted me and he said, brother, I cannot keep it up. He says, my ministry in Varna is suffering because I have to travel. It takes me, he says, I spend a day, a lot of times I have to stay overnight, and it's 2 days a week. And he says, I'm gone. He said, I physically cannot keep it up. The city could have a church today, but there's no labor. Oh, listen, the need is incredible.
Yep.
And back, you know, some years ago when my brother Ken went and back in the mid-90s when he met you over there, and he talked about Poland. And then there was some time later then where God opened an opportunity where we'd heard about, you know, going over to Łódź. And the opportunity to go in, and what we'll do is as a ministry, we get folks to come. We'll get 30 to 35 people to come and make a trip with us. We'll go over and we'll sit down with the missionaries 5-6 months before we bring the group over, and we'll talk through things, and we'll set things in order, and we'll rent a hall, a place where we can get people to come into. We'll go and find a place where we could have our team as they come to stay. We'll look at distribution points, and then we'll talk about getting the scriptures, getting them printed and getting them ready to go to the field. We'll talk about buying Bibles, and we'll talk about printing invitations. And we don't just hand out the scripture, we give them an invitation with it. This one was handed out in Prague. And you say it's in English. The missionary said, you know, there's so many young people that speak English, let's put it in English. And it's surprising how many folks would walk by me when we'd be handed it out, and they might not stop it. All of a sudden they look and go, amazing grace. Seriously.
Yep.
In a city that's 70% atheist. And yet, they saw amazing grace. And we'll say, hey, if you come, we're going to have a meeting. We'll give you a Bible. We'll give you a Bible. And oh, listen, we've seen God do some amazing things.
Yeah.
But oh, listen, don't take for granted the word of God that you've got.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't take it for granted.
Yeah. Right.
There are so many Christians in our country that, other than Sunday, maybe a midweek service, do not open this book whatsoever. And you've got to read the Word of God.
Amen.
Get in the Word of God. You know, it tells us in Peter, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
Listen, this is an incorruptible seed. This is the written Word of God.
Amen.
We are talking about the living Word of God, who has incorruptible blood. He's pure and holy.
Amen.
And he shed that blood for all of mankind. I mean, whatever sin has ever been committed, ever will be committed, it covers it all. But the problem is they need to hear.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
They need to hear.
Amen. Amen.
And what we want to do is, by the grace of God, give them a chance.
Amen.
Give them an opportunity. You know, when we take and you give somebody a gospel tract, you may be the last time Jesus passes by them.
Yeah, that's true.
You say, well, what are you talking about? That may be their last chance.
Yep, that's right.
That may be it. But give them a chance. Give them an opportunity.
Yes.
You know, there's so many chances here in our country. You'd be shocked at how many people, as we go and leave tracts at gas stations, at restaurants, at wherever we are, and how many folks in our country has said to us, "What is this?" Serious. We've gotten so far away from God, and we've become such a pagan, heathen nation.
Yep. Yes, that's right.
That people have no idea what it is. And so what I'll tell them is this. It tells you how to get to heaven. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know what? Nobody's ever said, nope. They've all smiled. Because deep inside, like Brother Corey was telling, there's something inside, an emptiness there. They've got to worship.
Amen.
Man has to worship. Whether they worship whatever religion, whether they worship the sun, whether they worship the earth, whatever, they have to worship. They don't know what, but we can show them.
Amen.
What to worship.
That's right. Amen.
You know, we've got in the back some propaganda. I mean, some literature we got back there, you know, that you can see how our ministry operates a little more. We have some prayer cards back there, and we're working right now. We had the opportunity to help Brother West over there with, I noticed in one of his newsletters, he had back some months ago, they were trying to get some New Testaments, and I said, hey, why don't we help toward getting New Testaments, and we cover the cost of 10,000 of them there for him, and it was like a month later where he emailed and he says, I know a fellow here that requested 100,000 pocket whole Bibles. And he says he wants them for the military and the law enforcement.
Amen.
In Poland.
Amen.
And he said, are you guys interested in that? And of course, a lot of green lights were on in a hurry. But I went and talked to our men about it. And of course, all of them said, yeah, we got to get involved in this.
Amen.
And if you look in the back, we got our last newsletter we sent out with this past May. There was a parade with the Polish police marching down the street there in Warsaw. And you see that picture there. I thank God for the internet on that one. But anyways, I pulled that off and put it on there. And guess what? I said, at the time, I said, what's it going to cost? And to do 100,000 of them, they were $2.50 a piece. Dirt cheap for a good quality Bible, but that's $250,000. So I says, well, can we break this down? And so he said, let's do 25,000. And we're thinking, we're going to be looking at months of trying to raise money. 1 month.
Wow.
We have over $70,000.
Amen. Praise
churches that we didn't even advertise it in that sent money because somebody laid it on their heart.
Yep.
You know, God's a whole lot more excited about getting this book out than we are.
Yeah, amen.
And I thank God for Brother Riggs and Brother West and spearheading that book, the Polish Bible.
Amen.
Boy, what a blessing.
Yes.
Because, you see, the ones, they had problems. You know, I remember years ago back in the 80s where we smuggled in from Trinitarian Bible Society some little pocket New Testaments. They were green. And I remember a Polish pastor one time, he set me down and he says, he got one of those little testaments out and he said, now you got these to us, didn't you? And we said, yes, we arranged to smuggle them in. And he says, this language is pre-communist era. And he says, elderly people can read it. But he says, the young people can't. And he said, let me show you something. And he got a more current Bible, which was not like our King James, but it was current language. And he showed me, and within the first chapter of Matthew, there was probably 30, 35 words that were totally different. And he said, this is, but this was a unique thing. He patted that green one, and he says, I like the spirit of this book.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the spirit bears witness with the word of God. And when you have the pure word of God, the spirit of God bears witness with it.
Yep.
And so when they took on that challenge, and I always think of Hudson Taylor, where he made this statement. He said, the work of God is at first impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is finished.
Amen.
And that's what it takes. And that was difficult. But they stuck with it. And thank God, I mean, how it's going out. And just continue to pray.
Amen.
But without saying any more, I've already rattled on way too much. I wanted to show you a short video here of showing one of these campaigns. This one took place in Romania. It'll show you how they operate. And just be praying, because we're praying about next year going to Poland.
Amen.
And we want to hold one in Gdansk. And what's the other town?
Totoro.
And we're going to help work with these churches, bring some teams over, distribute John and Romans, and try to cover some more of the city with the gospel of
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
And see some more Poles come to Christ, as
yes.
Lord willing.
Yes.
And so you pray toward that end. And we're also planning on going next year, Lord willing, to Berlin, Germany. And this is the third year in a row we're trying to go. We had it scheduled 2 years ago, and guess what happened?
COVID.
This crazy pandemic thing shut it down. We were going to go again this year. And because it's been so crazy over there, the missionary contacted us and said, don't even try right now.
Yep.
He says, they won't even let you stay in a hotel,
yep.
let alone be in this country. And so, Lord willing, next year. But we're praying, first of all, to go to Poland in the spring. So you
Amen.
Pray about that. Without saying any more, let's take you over and let you see